recorded live.
Of Shotgun Radio with your hosts, The Sigma and Zach Tagus.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Shotgun Wrestling Radio here on TalkShoe.com. Hi, I'm Zach the Sigma and Greg. We've got a lot to get to today. We're going to talk Monday Night Raw, TNA Impact, plus the big lockdown pay per view this weekend. And a little bit later on in the show, I have all the details on on-location episode of Shotgun Wrestling Radio with Kyle Black, Nolan Keller, and Zigman here from Cincinnati, Ohio. About this time, I'd like to bring in my co-hosts, Zach Chewy-Kakis and Aria. Guys, what's up?
How's it going, man?
Not too much.
All right. And before we get started, I also like to welcome in our special guest this week in a cross-promotion thing we're working on with another radio show here on TalkShoe.com. From the Aftershock Pro Wrestling Talk Show here on TalkShoe.com, let's welcome Sean to the show. Sean, what's up, man?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Very good, very good. Sean, before we get started, let's talk a little bit about Aftershock Pro Wrestling Talk Show. It's on Saturdays here on TalkShoe.com, and we're working on a partnership with you guys there to cross-promote between our two shows.
Yeah, I believe we're going to have multiple people crossing over, some of my co-hosts on the show on yours and some of you guys on the Aftershock. So yeah, it should be good.
Very cool.
Well, for the listening audience of Shotgun Wrestling Radio, let's go ahead and let them know where you can listen to your show at on Saturdays, I believe it is, right?
Yeah, this week we're on Saturday, and then we're going to change the time slot to Friday on 5 to 6:30 p.m. Eastern, I believe. So, but if you tune in to the show, you'll get more information, or you can just ask me on Facebook. It's totally up to you.
All right, very cool. Go ahead.
So what's your favorite brand of wrestling?
It depends on what you want in terms of, like, independent or mainstream.
Independent or mainstream, what's your favorite, if you had to pick one to watch?
Well, it's obviously going to be Raw for me, mainly because that was the first sort of stuff I properly watched, because that's what I got on TV over here. But in terms of independent at the moment, would be definitely ROH.
True.
Just because of the talent and the way they utilize guys. But yeah, I enjoy most stuff bar TNA in general.
Did you ever watch Nitro?
Briefly. The TV over here was completely messed up compared to what you guys got. Ours was on at strange times, sometimes, 3 a.m. for ECW on funny channels. And, no one had DVRs back then. So I still watch, the bits and pieces that I find on YouTube and elsewhere. But I did briefly, yeah.
Yeah, that's a TNA Impact used to be for me. You still wouldn't be able to catch it on, I think, Saturdays at like 3 in the morning. So it was really weird, but made it more fun to watch when I got bored.
Well, guys, let's go ahead and get going on this week's show. Let's get kind of going. Let's go back to Monday Night Raw, the aftermath of WrestleMania from this 2 weeks ago now. But the one big thing I want to talk about from Monday Night Raw that I loved was Mystico, his debut, Sin Cara's debut this past Monday night. Involving in the match, Daniel Bryan took on Sheamus, a match that should have happened on WrestleMania, but they did it on Raw again, and Mystico made his debut immediately following the match, putting himself over huge.
It was beautiful. The jump off the top rope was insane. It was amazing to watch. I didn't know anything about him. I know we talked about that a few shows back. I didn't do any research on the person, but watching him go in there, I mean, it was like seeing Rey Mysterio Jr. go back in time to when he was young and just exploding, this guy's going to go far. He's going to be the new Rey Mysterio, I think.
Yeah, you know, and I just watched his SmackDown preview, or his SmackDown debut before we went on. I definitely enjoyed his Raw preview a little bit more. I thought the jump from the top rope was absolutely insane. And like you said, I think they're getting ready to set him up as their next Rey Mysterio, because Lord only knows how many more years he has left in him.
I know that it was mentioned on Sean, on your show, about them using a trampoline and some nifty camera work for his leap into the ring in his debut. And I did not know that until I listened to your show this past weekend.
Yeah, it was clever how they did it. You had to really sort of pull a video and watch it a few times. But basically, someone was obviously under the ring, and they pushed a small trampoline just out below the ring, so that when Mr. Coe ran down and did the jump, he could get over the ropes. It obviously didn't work on the Raw one, because he still kind of messed it up a little bit. He just struggled to get over, but it worked well on the SmackDown tapings. He had no problems there.
Yeah, you can see on Raw, at least, when he's standing up at the top of the ramp, you can kind of see the trampoline kind of sitting there at the end of the ring for him. If you look close enough, they kind of glance, but then they kind of quickly take the camera away, so you have to pay really close attention, but you can see a trampoline there for him.
That kind of sucks. I don't like that.
Yeah, I wouldn't have noticed it if it hadn't have been for, you know, inside websites and stuff. So kudos to them for doing it so well. It was obviously just someone watching who was very bored or had too much time on their hands to find out about that.
Yeah, I guess so.
Speaking on that, well, and, you know, I really enjoyed that, the whole Mexico debut. I thought it was very well done on his part. Hopefully he goes on to feud with Sheamus. That's kind of what I'm thinking. Gets in the United States title feud. Pretty nifty with the trampoline thing and the nice cam work by WWE's part. Apparently he pulled it off a little better on SmackDown. I didn't quite see SmackDown yet this week, but it seems like he did a little better on SmackDown than he did on Raw, for what I read.
Yeah, from what I watched, the camera work was a lot better on SmackDown, as far as not being able to really notice the trampoline at all unless you were live in the crowd. But I still, even from like the move aspect, I prefer his Raw debut over his SmackDown debut.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. The Raw one was a lot better overall, but the SmackDown one was probably executed better. But you know, SmackDown's taped, so they've got time to change and edit things on TV. So
I swear, they better not turn the mid space.
You know, that's what's got me worried. I read that his shirt actually sold out completely at Monday Night Raw. And you go to their website, they hardly have any shirts, like, pretty much for any size in. So it's like, really, you know, I agree with you. I really not planning to turn him, but
it's like, why would you turn a heel that's working good face? You know, why not keep it the way it is? But they haven't figured that out yet. I feel like when they tried their best to turn Randy Orton face, he lost a lot of his popularity. I mean, he, as a heel, you know, Randy Orton, he is one of the most entertaining heels out there. But right now, you know, he's just in this limbo, almost wannabe Stone Cold position, where you can't really tell if he's a good guy or a bad guy, and that doesn't really work for him. And I can see the same thing happening to Miz, and him losing a lot of his support because of that.
But the thing about Miz is, and this is really hard for me to admit, because I am not a Miz fan at all, but the guy is really starting to get over with the crowd. The crowd's really starting to get behind him. His merchandise is selling. He's a very successful champion in the way that they have been booking him. And I think the next step for the Miz character would be to turn face.
How do you work in face, though? he's good at playing the coffee-conceited asshole. You know what I mean? Like,
see, he should be a tweener, in my opinion, though. A tweener would be the best, you know, kind of the Mr. Anderson-style role with the Miz.
If they can execute it.
I see that working a lot better than just full-blown face mode.
If they can execute it, though, but, I mean, I feel like they failed to execute that with Randy Orton, so I'm not going to start too high with that situation.
Yeah, I can never get over Randy Orton as being a full-fledged face like he is now. I just can't really buy into it that well.
He doesn't come across overall. He doesn't come across overall that he's not really happy to be liked by the fans, but he's not like despising the fans. It's just really weird. You don't really see him smiling, but you don't really see him angry, and he's not really with the fans as such. He just sort of does his thing, gets in and out of the ring and leaves, and it's just kind of strange. I think overall they don't really know what they want to do with him.
It's strange, it's awkward, kind of uncomfortable sometimes. But Randy Orton on the heel is fantastic. It's fun. It gets you on your feet, you know. You get you excited. But now you see him come out, and you're like, oh God, you know. Here comes either a boring promo or a really slow match. That's just my opinion.
I would, you know, like, totally have to agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost a fact. I mean, and you know Randy Orton sees that. I mean, when he was a champion, I heard they weren't selling much for him as a champ. It was like when Diesel became the champ back in the day. He was one of the lowest selling champs to date in WWF. And when Randy Orton became champion just recently, they took the belt off him so quick because he wasn't a popular world heavyweight champion because he was half face, half heel.
I personally enjoyed his heel run the best. I don't really like his tweener gimmick at all. And now that he's a face, like you were saying, you know, to me he just seems stale. And that's my opinion on it. I mean, he just seems stale. You're going to get a boring promo and the same style match about every time. You know, going back to Mania and looking at the CM Punk versus Randy Orton match, I mean, yeah, it was a good match, but yet it was still that one-sided style match where he guy works over like the leg or whatever the whole match, and Orton wins out of nowhere with the RKO. I don't know. I'm just more and more at, I don't know. I just, Randy Orton's kind of boring and stale to me as a wrestling fan.
Yeah, I was hoping CM Punk is going to win that match. They need to push him so much more than they're pushing him. He is so, you know, outstanding on the mic and in the ring. He's trying to be the biggest heel in the company right now. He's still loved by everybody, kind of like the Miz is. But you know, CM Punk fit as a face. I mean, they need to, I don't know, this is the same talk. I mean, they need to realize what they need to do to support all these athletes. Popularity, like they need to encourage and they need to go with the ratings. You know, if someone's getting crowd support, they need to push the person, and they don't do that a lot of times. And when they notice the crowd support, they tend to change the personality behind the person getting the support, and that's not smart.
Yeah, you know, you kind of say the same for Daniel Bryan. You know, the crowd always gets behind him, but yeah, he's not being pushed the way I think he could get pushed. One push that I am actually pretty happy for right now is Cody Rhodes. You know, I think he's done pretty good with his dashing gimmick and really adapting to it. And when he got to win at WrestleMania, I thought there was nobody else that really needed a bigger win at WrestleMania than Cody Rhodes.
Mm-hmm. I can agree with that. I think they're doing a great job with him. He has a lot of potential. He's young. So I'm glad that they could tell could see the problems with him. Daniel Bryan, though, I think he needs, a lot of work. I think he needs to really work on his promos and work on his, I guess, entertainment skills a little bit more. He's a great wrestler. He's probably one of the best that they have, but at the same time, he, on an entertainment level that the WWE tries to provide for its fans, he's not quite there yet to get pushed the way that, you know, his ability deserves to get pushed, in my opinion.
See, and I would agree with the whole fact on the, you're talking the Cody Rhodes winning at WrestleMania was a huge, huge thing, and I really enjoyed that, and I think that him getting beat, Mysterio letting him win really elevated him a lot, and it really helps Cody Rhodes get going, because I think, you know, he's really grown on me in the last year, because when Cody first debuted with the dashing Cody Rhodes gimmick, I cannot stand the guy. It's like Miz, but Miz will never grow on me. But Cody Rhodes has grown on me, and I think the guy really deserves a push at the upper mid-card level, if not to win, you know, the Intercontinental title, which I think really means nothing right now. If I remember right, Wade Barrett has that.
How do you hate the Miz?
Yeah, I don't get that either. Come on, man. Jeez.
That guy is he's a fantastic heel. He reminds me so much of the Attitude Era. He does good at what he does. You know, he deserves some recognition for that. If you hate him, it just means he's doing a great job, and you have to admit that he's doing a great job as a heel, especially from where he came from.
The thing is, to me, the Miz, like, to me, is like, you know, when people really sincerely hated X-Pac, that's how much I hate the Miz. I can't stand the guy. I don't watch any of his stuff. I usually fast forward to it.
Oh.
I just can't stand the guy. He can't cut a promo. He can't wrestle, and he should not be WWE champion.
He's the best at cutting promos.
Yeah, are you kidding me?
No one cuts promos like him. His promos are—he's one of the only people I can keep me interested in a promo. Like, I'm sitting. I try to get my friends who don't watch wrestling. Like, I'll pull up YouTube videos of him in the ring talking, and Michael Cole clips of Michael Cole talking and being a jackass. And even my friends who don't like wrestling love those two personalities.
I don't get it.
I can stand Michael Cole, but I love Miz. Michael Cole is just way over the top annoying now.
He is so funny. I am the biggest coal miner. I want a coal miner shirt. I saw my WrestleMania, I was like, I need to get that Team Cole jacket. I'm such a big fan. He's, in my opinion, one of the best things about WWE right now. He's entertaining. He pushes the limit, but God, WWE needs that right now. I'm just so sick of that peak crap. And I feel like him and people like him and The Miz, I feel like they square away from that in the best way possible.
I would rather listen to Matt Stryker than Michael Cole.
I'm with you there.
What about you?
Sean, what's your opinion on Miz?
I think he's been pushed a lot well, but he can become irritating after a while. I don't really like Alex Riley that much with him. I don't see why he's there with him. He's just sort of doesn't say a lot. He seems very dry to me, stale. But other than that, I wouldn't say he's by far my favorite wrestler in the company at the moment, but not on my worst list, you know.
What do you think of Michael Cole?
To be honest, he's getting on my nerves. The coal mine thing works well. He's just not in a way that a heel should get on your nerves. He's just, the segments are too long, and he keeps coming out with the stupid suit on, and it's just irritating that he's there now, and it doesn't make sense to me why they keep putting these segments on, you know, for ridiculous amounts of time, and you know, we could be seeing a lot more stuff, and it's just WrestleMania really put me off, and that was a real downside to him. When it went on, I can't remember how long it was, but I remember I ended up, because I didn't watch it live, I watched it like a replay the next day, I remember just thinking, how much time am I going to waste watching this sort of thing going over and over again? But it's just the way he does star. He was doing star jumps and, you know, warming up, and he's just overall getting on my nerves now and not in a good way.
Yeah, I never want to see Michael Cole in a singlet again, by the way.
I do.
Oh, I totally agree with you.
I think it's beautiful.
You know, he never strikes me as a tattoo person, so to see him with tattoos kind of caught me off guard.
Yeah, the funniest, stupidest tattoos I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, I know. There's the so out there.
The cliche children portraits on his.
You know, guys, while we're talking about kind of announcers, I just want to get your opinions real quick. You know, this kind of, we kind of got off subject here, but Booker T's announcing. I mean, I think it's terrible.
Have you heard how many times he says right now?
Wasn't he calling Sin Cara on Monday night, Sin Cara or whatever?
I can't understand anything he says. I think they fire him as an announcer and put Kevin Nash in.
I would rather listen to Matt Stryker than Booker T. At least Matt Stryker is intelligent, and it's sad to me because I could potentially see Matt Stryker on the future endeavors list with the spring cleaning that's going to be coming up here soon. And you know what's sad? Because I think he's a great commentator.
You know what surprised me? I mean, they bring in from TNA Booker T and Kevin Nash, and they have Kevin Nash sit in the back and do nothing, but they have Booker T as a commentator, because Nash can cut a promo like no other guy can. The only one that touches him is Scott Hall, maybe. And they decided to use Booker T as an announcer and not Kevin Nash. I think Kevin Nash should be such a good color commentator.
But would they, I'm just throwing this out here, but is it them being, you know, the whole racism thing? If they don't have someone who's not white, then do they start to get funny comments and looks from, you know, they've already had ones from GLAAD over stupid comments. Will they get, you know, something come up? I don't know. It's just throwing it out there, but it's a possibility.
You know, that wouldn't surprise me. But what wouldn't surprise me is if they just assume that, because I don't see it happening, but I can totally see the WWE assuming, hey, we're not saying, you know, what if this happens? Because the WWE went from not caring about anything to caring about way too much when it comes to their image. I mean, they're dropping the World Wrestling Entertainment thing just to get rid of the wrestling part of that. Made me super mad when I heard about the whole WWE name change thing. But they're all about image now and protecting that.
You know, part of that's really came along more and more since they went PG, you know, with the investors and the sponsors, and they're really worrying about how they're taking now. And you know, I was pissed off to hear that they dropped the wrestling out of their name, you know, now just known as WWE. It kind of pissed me off, because to me, if you got guys in the ring being athletic and going in there and putting a match, that's wrestling. And that's what draws me further and further away from WWE each week. I'll be honest with you. I like certain guys, Bryan Danielson or Daniel Bryan, Sheamus, Wade Barrett, who they keep jobbing. I like these guys. And other guys, I'm really starting to push further and further away from WWE. And, you know, I'm a big TNA mark, but TNA ain't doing much better in anything either when it comes to wrestling.
I used to be a big TNA mark.
At least they didn't drop wrestling out of their name.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to get talking to wrestling. The best wrestling company out there right now is definitely Ring of Honor, hands down. They're the best pure wrestling company out there right now. Especially after watching their 9th anniversary show. Haas and Benjamin in there. You know, their guys are just top-notch athletes, and
their shows
entering
on
fantastic.
Their shows on WrestleMania weekend on Saturday, the Saturday evening one was really good in terms of wrestling. Well, sorry, Friday night even. I haven't got around to seeing the Saturday one, I believe it was. Yeah, but night one was really good in terms of if you just want wrestling. It definitely puts it out there that they're the best company at providing a wrestling show. If you want entertainment, you can go elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, Ring of Honor is beautiful. I mean, you don't have to be a fan of wrestling to enjoy the Ring of Honor. I mean, that says a lot, because it's just straight wrestling. But matches are just so you can't turn your head away. I mean, you just want the matches to keep going and going. The way they execute everything is so fantastic. And
speaking on the shows, the WrestleMania weekend, I mean, I ordered both of them, and they were just phenomenal. Ring of Honor Take Center Stage shows, which we talked about last week. I mean, just the wrestling on night one was amazing, and the card in the afternoon on Saturday afternoon was it was not as good as Friday night, but, you know, Hawks and Benjamin became tag team champions. Solid tag wrestling, solid singles wrestling. I mean, the women's wrestling was phenomenal from that weekend. I mean, there's no company that does it better than Ring of Honor.
I agree. You know what sucks is not even, like, I don't even consider myself, well, we'll talk about that in a little bit. It's regarding TNA. I just don't consider myself a TNA fan at all anymore.
That's surprising.
Yeah, I mean, I go off.
You're almost a bigger TNA fan than Big Man here.
I mean, it's garbage now. I wish AJ Styles moved up north.
We'll get to that in a minute, man. We'll get to that. I want to get to one other WWE thing, related thing, before we get to TNA wrestling.
Is it the stupid thing?
No, we're going to talk about the whole one-year outbooking of the WrestleMania main event.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my whole entire life.
My thing is, if you haven't heard about this, it's Rock versus John Cena, which they set up at WrestleMania this year, and then they gave it the next night on Raw, they delivered that we're going to have it at WrestleMania 28, I believe it is, in Miami, Florida. My biggest problem with it is, for one, how are they going to keep the fans interested for a whole year to see Rock John Cena? You know, if I want to see that match, I want to see it now. Two, The Rock ain't going to be around the whole year since he's got, I mean, I know John was talking on his show that he's got to film some movies coming up and stuff, so he's going to be out 3 or 4 months for that. I just don't see how you're going to keep the audience into the whole match for a year. Plus, you got to protect John Cena throughout the year so he doesn't get hurt, so the match goes off good.
Exactly. You know, that's kind of what I mentioned in my blog this week about it. And, you know, you have to do one of two, you have to do like three things here. You got to, first of all, not let Rock or Cena overshadow what you're doing the rest of the year. You know, you still got to keep it in the back of fans' minds that, okay, we still get this, but this is what's happening now. And like you said, you still have to keep Cena from, God forbid, tearing an ACL or tearing a quad or getting a rotator cuff injury or any type of injury. Your best off Cena go and film a movie for 6 months, you know, just to protect him and let Miz and Orton run the show.
Because
you can't have your main event guy get injured with the potential of missing out on what would be one of the biggest main events in WrestleMania. I mean, the only other thing that you could possibly do would be to switch it up versus Miz versus Rock, but I wouldn't be surprised if we get that at SummerSlam this year.
The one thing I was just going to, or two things I was just going to say, though. First off, like, they're telling the fans in Atlanta a year in advance, oh, this is what the main event for WrestleMania 28 is going to be, but this is the main event you guys all wanted to see. But you aren't. You're going to miss it. You're going to have to come next year. You know, most, the majority of the fans in the Raw will have spent an awful lot that weekend on WWE alone. And my only other point is that tickets don't go on sale for the WrestleMania 28 until July. I mean, why don't you? You know, The Rock's not going to be around then. I know he's got a movie filming from like May for like 3 months. So it's like you're selling. You sell half the tickets, whereas if you'd done this a week before the tickets go on sale, then everyone's going to want them and you're going to be selling them like crazy. I just don't get why they did it so early. It's, I don't know whether it was one of their just stupid things off the, well, we need to leave Atlanta for good feel, or I don't know, but I didn't really particularly like it.
I want to know how you hype up the main event for WrestleMania match, the most overrated talent in WWE versus a former heavyweight contender who hasn't wrestled in over 8 years.
That's a good question.
Well, I feel like the match is going to be garbage. I don't care about it. If like right now, like as Mel was announced, I just rolled my eyes and was wondering, what the Undertaker match is big, because I'm going to need more than that to want to watch WrestleMania. Don't really care about that. I thought it would have been a great SummerSlam match, but as far as headlining a WrestleMania, I don't care enough to see The Rock versus John Cena. It's in Miami. We all know The Rock's probably going to win. If not...
No. So you should be going, since you're in Orlando, right?
You know, I might. I mean, it all depends on the rest of the card. I really don't care enough to see John Cena versus The Rock.
Any man to say we'll get Triple H versus Undertaker 3, which will probably be Taker's last WrestleMania. If he's around after next year, I'd be surprised. I could see next year kind of doing what they did for Ric Flair, too, inducting him into the Hall of Fame and having his last match all on the same weekend.
You think it'll be Triple H again?
The way they kind of set it up on Monday, I don't really see anybody else they could do it with. You know, you don't want to put him up against a young star and just bury the kid. You want to make more sense to do it against Hunter.
But they're talking about doing that match at SummerSlam rematch also.
Oh, no. That's stupid. That's stupid, man. Because we all know Triple H can win that easily. The thing about the WrestleMania match is...
You don't think they'd throw The Undertaker into the Cena-Rock match, do you? Because it's not for the title, I don't believe. You don't think they'd be stupid enough and just think, oh, wait, this could sell more tickets. We'll do this and
I
throw him in it.
I hope not, because if Undertaker loses in a triple threat, then it wouldn't be as... It wouldn't be as pleasing. It'd be more like a bitch way to go out. You know what I mean? I really feel like he should have been pinned by Triple H at WrestleMania. I know a lot of people disagree with me, but when Triple H tombstone The Undertaker, it should have been 1, 2, 3. That would have been
cool. But honestly, don't you guys think they're gonna probably do Taker Miz at WrestleMania next year? You're such big Miz fans. Wouldn't that be what you want to see?
I guess so, but Triple H, you know, he's always been my favorite, WWE wrestler, and to see him just destroy Undertaker and be that close, and then at the very end, and the crowd was sledgehammer and drop it and then tap out. I was just so mad. I got up, left the room. I was like, fuck wrestling. And I was like, stupid. Like Undertaker's 75. Ridiculous. He should retire. He needs to lose this stupid match. Get it over with. But what you just said, I haven't thought about that. And if the Miz were to beat Undertaker, I would have a party.
You know,
quit watching.
Hey, at least Taker Miz, or at least Taker Hunter was in 90 seconds.
Shit.
That was a respectable match, okay? I'll have you know that. That was a respectable match, and I really enjoyed the tea break.
I think they had a good match at WrestleMania. I really enjoyed it. And you know, you can shoot on the TNA thing, throw it out there all you want about making fun of their main event at their last pay-per-view. That's cool and dandy. It happens. I look over it. We're heading the walk down. Which brings me to my next point. Let's talk TNA Impact. Yes, we have to talk about TNA Impact because, you know, to me, I'm a huge TNA fan. I don't always like what they do, but I'm really enjoying their setup, their build to the lockdown weekend in Cincinnati, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun, except for the fact that I'm still kind of pissed off about the whole Bubba Ray Dudley, or Bully Ray, if you will, and AJ Styles thing. I mean, it was really executed well a few weeks ago.
Is Styles back?
No, he's not. That's what I'm getting to. Why ain't AJ Styles around to be part of lockdown or be the main focus of TNA?
Well, maybe he'll return at lockdown. The thing,
but if he does, the thing about him returning at lockdown is knowing Big Robin Hogan's track record with TNA, he'll probably return as part of Immortal.
No.
Personally, I think it'd be stupid to have him join Immortal, considering that he just left them. So for me, it'd be stupid to have him join again. I mean, if they did that, I would just stop watching TNA altogether.
Is that just your theory, or is there talk in the backstage?
No, that's just kind of what I think, and a lot of the other wrestling community online have been talking about it on a couple of the TNA websites that I go to and on the message boards and stuff.
I'll tell you, I'll start watching TNA again when either Paul Bearer quits or just goes back to doing tag team. I'll start watching it again when they get rid of Hogan and Bischoff, turn Rob Van Dam into a jobber. What else needs to happen?
Wow, anyways.
Leave the impact zone.
Yeah, oh, big time.
And Kurt Angle has to become a heel again, because that's the only thing. That's the only way I am in love with Kurt Angle. When he's a face, he's boring. When he's a heel, he's the most entertaining guy to watch.
And you know, Sean, not to just ignore what you said there, Raya, but Sean, I really agree with you on the whole leaving the impact zone. When they filmed those shows in Fayetteville, North Carolina, the quality of the show wasn't the best, but just having a packed house, a huge crowd, a hot crowd, it just was a totally different show. And it seemed like it was a totally different ballgame.
I actually watched, because I don't follow it anymore as like regularly as I did do. I did watch those two shows, and I probably will watch Lockdown because it's not at the Impact Zone. But the whole set looked a whole lot better generally, just the way they had, you know, the moving ramp, the moving background, and it just felt a lot better, and it felt a lot bigger.
Felt more legit.
Yeah, and we've been saying it on this show for months, you know, that they really need to get out of the Impact Zone. Hulk Hogan said it, Bischoff said it, Scott Steiner tweeted it. You know, how many guys, I know that it takes a lot of money to put the production on the road, but, you know, there's no reason why TNA shouldn't be at that level already. You know, with the Hogan and Bischoff's additions, they were supposed to only get better, and to me, they took steps backwards.
Go ahead.
I actually really enjoyed the shows they did in Fayetteville just because of the crowd, you know. The Impact crowd, I think, just knows what's coming now, and it's boring to them, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And I did hear Daniel's return. Is that true?
Yeah, we'll get to that in just a minute. John, what were you going to go ahead and say?
Basically, I know I'm from the UK, and I'm obviously slightly biased with them, but they get great ratings over here. You know, we've always been loyal to them in terms of getting them on TV, supporting their UK tours. You know, they've been the highest rated things they've ever done. And they've broke records on TV channels over here. And they come over here every, like, once a year. Why can't they just tape one of the shows? I really don't get why they just keep ditching us and telling us that it's, you know, too expensive to bring some cameras over here. It's frustrating, I think, for fans, because I think eventually they'll start giving up on them, just sort of thinking, well, we're never going to get anything over here. I mean, a few months back, they hosted a fan party because we got the TNA was the highest rated show on the TV channel it's on over here. I mean, a fan party with some free merchandise and Jeremy Borash hosting. I mean, that's not really, really return a favor of, you know, keeping the company alive, practically.
And see, I agree with you, and I've never understood that. You know, they broke their attendance records over there. They got the huge TV ratings. They need to get back to the UK fans now, and it can't be that expensive to take some TV cameras. They could tape, I mean, seriously, even if they taped it in those sold-out arenas, if they just tape a few weeks of television, a month of television, to build a pay-per-view, I mean, even give you guys a pay-per-view, even though it would air, you know, at a weird, it'd be weird, it'd have to be pre-taped and then air over here, but still, it'd be huge to see it in front of that big crowd and really give you guys what you deserve for being such great, loyal TNA fans and helping that company.
They could make all the money for the cameras if they do that. I mean, you go to the UK, it costs money, then you cost admission, and then the place would sell out, and they make the money back instantly. I mean, there's no excuse to not give them a TV taping or something big.
Yeah, and that is some of the things that, you know, drive me away from TNA. You know, I've been watching TNA since the Wednesday days. I've always loved the company from day one, you know. Plus, I've liked the company that used to give opportunity to a lot of the guys that, you know, I always thought deserved opportunity. Now it seems they like to build their company around the older guys and not go with the youth movement. You know, the Machine Guns, the X Division. What happened to X Division? You know, but
Bischoff, Hogan.
You know, I really don't want to get on the whole bat at TNA because I'm coming on to going to the Lockdown pay-per-view this weekend in Cincinnati, and I'm ready for the whole weekend. Got the Fan Fest lined up on Saturday. We'll ride down there on Friday, stay overnight. I think we're going to go to a Reds game in that maybe. Fan Fest on Saturday, pay-per-view on Sunday, and come on Monday. So I'm really excited for this whole Lockdown weekend. It'll be my fourth TNA pay-per-view, my third Lockdown. I went to Bound for Glory in Chicago. Probably my 12th or 13th TNA show. I really support the talent. The company really needs to change the booking pattern and get some things done right to get that moving in the right direction and be different than WWE. You know, they're supposed to be a wrestling company. They need to really base their company on wrestling and less storylines, less Hogan and Bischoff. And this Immortal versus Fortune storyline is really starting to get old to me, as well as the Kurt Angle Jeff Jarrett one, Hernandez feud with Matt Morgan. I don't know, but I'm looking forward to Lockdown. Should be a great weekend. Here in a few minutes, I'll give you some details on a special show we're going to do. But guys, let's kind of run through Impact, and then we'll preview Lockdown, and we'll go from there. Basically, this week there wasn't really much in the way or Impact of, you know, basically you could have missed it and you still wouldn't know what's going on at Lockdown. The only thing that really, really stuck out in my mind was the main event, Rob Van Dam and Sting with Mr. Anderson as a special enforcer. Of course, Rob Van Dam pinned Sting after Anderson hit the mic check on him, and then Anderson act like he was joining Immortals, but only to mic check both Rob Terry and what are the other guy's name is, the Gunner or Murphy. Murphy, I think it is. And basically go off the air of looking like Mr. Anderson screwed Immortal. In the end, I think RVD is going to be the guy to turn heel and join Immortal at Lockdown.
Are they having someone join Immortal at Lockdown?
Not really, but they've teased it the weeks that Hogan's tried to work out a deal with Sting. He's trying to work out a deal with Anderson, and he's trying to work out a deal with Rob Van Dam.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, he's been pretty unsuccessful on television. The only other thing I didn't like from Impact 2, I know I'm kind of just keep going here, but Daniels returned last week to being part of the match at Lockdown to only get beat this week thanks to Hogan's chain shot by Bully Ray.
Do you guys know what the deal with Daniels is? Because I thought it was only he could appear under the suicide mask. That was the last I heard from him. That side of things, but I don't know whether it changed or not.
See, I think that was the deal, but once their Ring of Honor HD net contract ended, I think that contract was pretty null because, you know, the main reason they had that contract was the fact that they had a television deal.
True. I forgot about that. Cheers.
So, they're already having a job again?
Well, he lost the first match. Hogan, they're trying to get heat for the Immortals, basically, here. Hogan grabbed the chain and punched Daniels in the face in a lumberjack match, and Bully Ray got the win.
Okay. I mean, you know, TNA could take the Ring of Honor approach and just have solid matches, and it's so much better than it is now. I mean, the storylines, in my opinion, suck. I hate Bully Ray. You know, I hate the whole Immortal Fortune thing. I hate the Kurt Angle, Jeff Jarrett feud. One thing I do want to say, positive to me, is they can be unpredictable. I don't know what's going to happen in a Lockdown. You're talking about someone possibly joining Immortal, someone unexpected, and that could very well happen because TNA is good at surprising people and doing that, showing the shock value effect. So it'll be interesting to see what goes down in Lockdown. You know they're going to do something. They always end up doing something.
My my other prediction for Lockdown is maybe a Hulk Hogan face turn.
How so?
But that's what I see. What do you think, Zach?
You know, it'd be interesting, I guess. There's been talk of Hogan wanting apparently to get back in the ring again this year. God help us all. I don't know. I think it would pretty much destroy the whole immortal thing, which would be nice because that storyline, like you guys have been saying, is just getting really old and tiresome.
You think, if anything, I can see Hogan turning face and finding Bischoff.
I can see that in a way. I'm interested to see what they do. I hope there's not too much shenanigans going on with Lockdown. I'd kind of like to see maybe a straight pinfall finish main event that lasts more than a minute. Also would like to see some matches without interference, which, you know, hopefully at a cage, inside the cage, we won't get a lot of interference. But I know there was some rumors this week that there might be a person added into the Lockdown cage match between Jeff Jarrett and Kurt Angle. I don't know if you guys heard about this. I don't know if it's true or not, but if you remember that girl that was, she was supposed to be on NXT originally, and WWE released her right away. TNA gave her a tryout. Well, there's been some rumors online, and I don't know what's true to them or not, but she might be put in Kurt Angle's corner in the match, so it'd be like Jeff Jarrett with Karen Jarrett, and Kurt Angle with this, what is her name? She's an Amazon lady. I can't think of her name off the top of my head.
I know who you're talking about, but I heard she was not liked by any of the knockouts at all, and they said they would not work with her if she was brought into the company. But obviously TNA thinking differently, then that is true.
No, I don't want to see it. I want to see a feast first. Or Mr. Fire Match, or whatever it's called, with Bobby Ray Dudley versus Jeff Hardy versus Rob Van Dam versus Jeff Jarrett.
Let's not bring back the Feast or Fire Match. Come on, man, that's one of those Russo exclusives. But I'm not a big fan of those, or the locked. What's the other one? The other cage match they did with the women a year ago or so, where the Knockouts title changed hands.
I'm not a fan of all of Feast or Fire, but if it's those four guys together, and I knew one of those four were going to get fired, oh man, I'd pay to see that.
Anyways, let's kind of run down the Lockdown card, talk about if you guys are excited to see these matches or not, and then we'll get the details on the on-location show with Kyle Black and Nolan Keller and myself. Not live. It'll be a show that we do over the 3 days in Cincinnati and Covington, Kentucky, and we'll have it here probably next Tuesday. I'll give you more details here in a minute, but let's kind of run down Lockdown, starting with the Lockdown cage match with Ink Inc., Crimson and Scott Steiner versus Eric Young and Orlando Jordan versus British Invasion of Brutus Magnus and Douglas Williams.
You're my Vin?
Yeah.
Like, it's a cop out Lockdown match. So.
They've done some matches like this in the past. I know they did a cuffed in a cage one time with a lot of tag teams. I think that potentially it could be a decent match between these four teams. I like the fact that they brought back the British Invasions, Magnus and Williams. I kind of wish Desmond Wolf could come back into the role. I know he has an injury of some sort. But I think this is a good way to keep Eric Young and Orlando Jordan on the card, I guess. I'm not a fan of Orlando Jordan, but Eric Young's a hell of a talented guy, so that should be a decent little match. I don't know what Sean or Zach, what do you guys think about this?
I think it'll be an all right match in terms of wrestling. I couldn't really comment on whether what I think will happen, but I'll watch it and I reckon I'll fairly enjoy it.
You know, I think it'll be one of those comedy-style matches that just kind of get the crowd into it, I guess.
I think it'll be a match. I go make myself a nice little ice cream.
Anyways, the next match I'm actually really excited for in the Lockdown card is the Lockdown Cage X Division Escape match. I am very surprised to see this match on the card because, you know, the company keeps saying they're going to rebuild the X Division, and it's Jeremy Buck, Robbie E., Chris Sabin, Brian Kendrick, Max Buck, Suicide, Jay Lethal, and The Amazing Red in X Division Escape.
Bringing that on, that is going to be a sick match.
Yeah, you know, that should be a good one. I hope they, like you said, step in their direction and bring the X Division back. Kind of surprising to hear Amazing Red's name in there. I haven't heard his name around TNA for a while.
My only thoughts on it is it the are they actually changing the cage to the alter the you know, the like asylum thing, or is it just the small cage? Because if it is, could it not become really crowded?
And that's the thing. I think it's going to be that black cage that they had last year and that they used on Impact a few weeks ago. I don't know if you got a chance to see this cage. They debuted it last year around lockdown time. It's going to be the square cage, of course, not the one like they had in Asylum Days. It was a nice cage. It gave you a lot of room to work with, I guess. But this match could be overcrowded a little bit, but... You know, it's a step in the right direction. Get all these guys in the card and get the X Division going. I'm all for it.
See, I think it's overcrowded in a really great way. I think it's an insane match. That's one that I really want to see. I think it's going to be. I think they basically just took a whole bunch of X Division stars and they know they put on a great show and just like let's throw them all in this cage and make them go at it. So I'm stoked for that match.
The next match on the card is Pope versus Samoa Joe. Hopefully this will be the end of this feud. These two guys just ain't clicking for me in the feud at all. I think it's been badly done.
It's so random.
And it's kind of sad that they only brought Okada, a very talented guy from Japan, into this feud to be basically Samoa Joe's person. Yeah, pretty much. As he's basically playing Okada, the ripoff from the Green... what was that movie? It's coming out or came out.
The Green Hornet.
Yeah. Yep. It's kind of sad that they only utilize him in that fashion, but hopefully this will be the end of these two guys' feud.
Yeah, and that's going to be very predictable, too, because we all know so much that he's going to win in the feud will be over. Thanks, team.
Another match, Hernandez, Matt Morgan, Mexican-Americans versus Matt Morgan. This feud's been going on forever. If you remember, these guys were tag team partners. They held the tag titles. Matt Morgan put out Hernandez, and then later on he put out Homicide to keep the two going. Homicide got released. Hernandez returned. He's got this new Mexican-American group, and he's continuing the feud with Matt Morgan.
Didn't we see this last year's lockdown pay-per-view, or is this a few months back? They definitely have had a cage match within a year. I can't remember when, but it was really bad.
Yeah, it's cool. Shit, I forgot. I
did that. You don't come to think of it. I'm not 100% sure. I was there last year. Hernandez was not on last year's pay-per-view, but they did have a cage match not too long ago with these guys.
Yeah, it'll be a decent match. Matt Morgan can put on a show. I feel like ever since Hernandez came back, he wasn't as good as he used to be. Not that entertaining. But still, I mean, two big guys, put them in a ring together, you're going to get some entertainment. So that match won't be that bad.
Then we got I don't understand the whole stipulation inside of the cage thing. Because I remember the first lockdown I went to in 07, I believe it was in St. Charles, Missouri, where we had a blindfold match, electrified cage match, just terrible. Anyways, Mickie James versus Madison Rain, hair versus title. I don't understand the stipulation. Everyone knows that Mickie will probably win this match.
Yeah, it's predictable and stupid. It's a fair match for Mickie.
Then we got Jeff Jarrett, Kurt Angle.
Shoot me in the head.
I'm hoping that this one could live up to Kurt Angle, Mr. Anderson from last year's lockdown.
Because Jeff Jarrett's involved.
I understand that. Jarrett could go when he needs to sometimes. But I think that Mr. Anderson, Kurt Angle is probably the best cage match I've seen in person. And
you saw that in person?
Yeah, I was at lockdown last year.
The only
thing I'm seeing here, I've got the card up too, is it's says with Karen Jarrett, you kind of just can guess that she's going to get involved somehow. Her involvement in the match is going to depend on how the match plays out. Such, she can either ruin it or just sort of do a very brief run in, or as such. Or,
yeah, she's been in the past 25 Jeff Jarrett Kurt Angle matches, so safe to say she'll do it again for 26.
Moving on to the Lethal Lockdown match. Match I always look forward to. I think it's kind of a cool concept. If you like spots, because they like to do a lot of spots and then a lot of weapon spots. But last year's was decent with Hogan's team versus TNA's team. This year's basically the same thing. Immortal versus Fortune. I believe it's Matt Hardy, Bully Ray, Ric Flair, and Abyss. Versus Christopher Daniels, Beer Money, and Frankie Kazarian.
I think that was pretty sick. You know, I love Kazarian, Daniels, awesome. With Fortune in general, the only thing I have against Fortune is the fact that they're such a stacked talent, and they're all on a team together. It'd be so much fun to watch go at each other, but this match in particular, you know, that type of match is always super fun to watch. That's what makes that kind so awesome. That's what makes it worth buying. Yeah, that's a great match, and it's going to be a lot of fun to see. You're lucky you get to see it live. I think this match and the X Division match are going to make the favorite you for buying a lot of spots. That by themselves. But then you have the obvious, probably cliffhanger surprise ending that's probably going to come with the favorite view as well. You get a pretty good pay review, and
I think it'll be the one of the better ones of the year. It seems like Mount Florida and Lockdown are probably the two best of the year. AJ will probably have something to do with that matchup. That brings us to the Lockdown World Title match. Mr. Anderson, Sting, and RVD. I'm looking forward to this match, and I really hope the belt goes back on Mr. Anderson.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's going to. I'll tell you one thing. It's better than your going up and down. I'm hoping it goes on. Mr. Anderson, you know, Sting has to lose it. I mean, he's old. And, all right, Sting, give it up. You know, Mr. Anderson deserves more than anyone. His last battle won was bullshit, especially for how awesome it was to see it go on his waist.
Look at the card just here. We've got three matches where there's absolutely loads of guys in the ring. My worry is, again, is it going to just become overcrowded, and is the matches going to play out? You know, there's three matches here with over sort of eight guys in the ring at once, and it's just like concerned to this. Is this going to just be too crammed in, and is there just going to be bodies flying everywhere, and it's just going to be a complete mess?
Yeah.
You know, I would love to see Anderson win the belt, but at the same time, I feel like if Sting don't win, it just puts no meaning into the TNA title because they change hands so damn much, and it's like title belts have absolutely no meaning anymore.
Well, you can look at it that way, or you can look at it as, you know, like, that does mean something to the extent of, you know, people would go at it, and that belt would be tossed around. But at the same time, you have it, you're the champion for that moment, and you never know what's going to happen with that belt. TNA seems to be more exciting than WWE. It seems to be faster most of the time. But at the same time, that can be bad for them because it seems like they also have a bit of ADHD. And maybe things should have been on the belt a little bit longer. But, you know, I can totally see the guys backstage team. He'd be like, all right, let's get Chris Anderson and Robin in. I'm kidding, 2 weeks on Impact. And they're losing. Stick to a storyline. Stick to a good storyline. Throw away the bad ones. Move forward. Fire them.
Well, that brings us to the conclusion of lockdown. There's a pre-show matchup, Brother Ray, our brother Devon versus the new Mexican American guy. That'll be only on like DirecTV and a few other cable providers. So lockdown goes on this weekend, guys, live and exclusively on pay-per-view. Again, I was telling you earlier that Kyle Black, Nolan Keller, and myself will be in Cincinnati for the weekend. We are doing a show. It's going to go over probably Friday through Monday. We're going to do a whole show on the lockdown weekend. It's going to be taped down there, and it will be available probably Tuesday afternoon here on TalkShoe.com. Guys, we're running out of time this week. I wanted to get to Tough Enough. We'll talk about Tough Enough the next time we are on. Reminder for you guys, there will not be a show next Monday unless things change, but look for the special show on Tuesday because I will not be back from Cincinnati yet. So we'll probably do a show a little bit later on that week. We'll get the details up on the Facebook at facebook.com/shotgunradio and the number one. I wanted to give an opportunity to Sean to go ahead and plug your show this week. I know you have a special guest on, so let's talk a little bit about your show this coming Saturday.
Yeah, thanks. This week we have CZW owner DJ Hyde on the show live. We are more than willing to have you guys come on and talk to him, ask him any questions you may have. We will be speaking to him about CZW's UK venture and their time in Japan recently, back from their recent shows, how their TV deals went about, etc., etc. You can also find that on talkshoe.com or just search the Aftershock Pro Wrestling Talk Show in Facebook.
Very cool. Sounds like you guys got some stuff lined up for this week with CZW owner. Should be a good show. Once again, you can catch that. Give us the times real quick again, John.
This week on Saturday, we go live from 3 to 4:30 p.m. Eastern on Saturday. And then the following week, we are starting our new time zone of Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern till 6:30 p.m. Eastern.
All right, very cool. And that is the Aftershock Pro Wrestling Talk Show. It is also here on TalkShoe.com. Like you said, you can check it out on the Facebook search, Aftershock Pro Wrestling Talk Show on Facebook. Go ahead and like it, check it out. One of us will definitely be on a future show episode of the Aftershock Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Once again, Sean, go ahead. I just want to thank you for doing the show today, and hopefully this works out to be a great future business relationship amongst our shows here. We will not be on again next Monday, guys. Check out the Facebook. The special lockdown weekend show will be on Tuesday afternoon. It'll be up to get everything edited together from Kyle Black, Nolan Keller, and Zach Ziegman's trip to the lockdown weekend. Once again, thanks to Aria for doing the show today, too, as well. Thanks again to you, Sean, and the Aftershock Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Definitely check that out. It's a great show. I've really enjoyed it and how they really focused on independent wrestling as well. And that's a really great thing. It really gets put in the backseat a lot to a lot of guys. So independent wrestling is definitely where it's at. When we return next time, I want to talk about the 3XW show that's coming up here on the 22nd as well in Des Moines, Iowa. Plus, I want to talk about something we got in the works and some future interviews from the 3XW crew and some independent profile that we're going to be doing in the future on this show. For Aria and Sean from Aftershock Pro Wrestling Talk Show and Zach Shuey Takis, I am the Zig Man. We'll see you back here next time on TalkShoe.com.
have been listening to Shotgun Radio with your hosts, the Zigman and Zach Takis.